The word the Lord has placed on my heart for us today was already mentioned while Mama was reading the scripture. It's something that we all are aware of, but maybe we don't understand. Because it is something that needs to be taught and learned. It's not something that we just have automatically. It is called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So in a sense, the message I have to share with us today is about understanding the fear of the Lord, or you may call it the anatomy of the fear of the Lord. We need to understand what it is. What is the fear of the Lord? What does God think, or what does God's word say the fear of the Lord is? Do we understand it? The Bible tells us very clearly that the fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of wisdom. So until you have the fear of the Lord, you are not what? You're not wise. And if you're not wise, you're a fool. And it is the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. So a wise man says in his heart and lives out from his heart that there is God. A man who is in line with the fear of God knows that there is a God. And if he knows that there is a God, then he has faith, or he believes. Not just believes, but he has faith, because faith must have action. Believing does not necessarily have to have action. The Bible says the devil believes that there is a God and he trembles. But that does not mean he repents. Are you with me so far? Now, if you have faith in God, then you also believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you don't have the fear of God, you don't believe that he's a rewarder. And when you don't have the fear of God, and because you don't believe that he's a rewarder, then you live your life very casual and unintentional in terms of the things that concern God, and your intent is to live your life for yourself, to grab and get whatever you can grab and get based on your ability, based on your foolish wisdom, based on what you can do and get away with, because you don't have the fear of God. I hope I didn't lose anybody. Fear of God is of utmost importance. But unfortunately, most people have not grasped it. What are some important things about this fear of God? Psalm 25 and verse 14. Psalm 25 and verse 14 states very clearly that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. God's secret is with them that fear him. And he will show them his what? Covenant. So God shows his covenant only to those who fear him. And he shows them the secret of how to tap into that which is so obvious to everyone. You can have a big lock safe, let's say a big safe, obvious to everybody, and inside that safe, let's say that safe is transparent, but you cannot break into it, and it is loaded with blocks of gold and gold bricks and all kinds of amazing stuff, diamonds and rubies and everything inside there. Everybody can see it. But the safe has a number. It is the person that has the number that can open it. Everybody can see it, but they cannot get to it. You throw a nuclear bomb on that thing, it will not open. The only way is to have the key. And the Bible says that he will give us the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. God will give us what? Keys to the kingdom. God's word says the secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear him. Interesting. God will do nothing. Amos 3:7, I believe. God will do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Except that he reveals his secrets to his prophets, the servants, his servants, the prophets. He will do nothing. So the fear of God brings us to the place where we experience the secrets of God. And when we experience the secrets of God, we become partners with God in the doings of God. Because God will do nothing. Surely the Lord God will do what? Nothing. But he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. What do prophets do? Prophets prophesy. Hallelujah. So you're going to see in just a moment that part of the fear of God has to do with our speech, with what we talk about. But before I get to that, the Word of God says in Psalm 34 and verse 7, it tells us that the angels of God encamp around those that fear God. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and does what? Delivereth them. So deliverance is connected to the fear of God. If you want to experience deliverance, you must have the fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, you are not promised, neither are you guaranteed deliverance. Somebody listening? Somebody say, I need the fear of God in my life. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 27 tell us that the fear of God is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. So the fear of God causes you to escape all the plans of the enemy to snare you and bring you to the place of death. Whether it be physical death, spiritual death, relational death, financial death, whatever kind of death, The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. What does that mean? It means that the fear of the Lord continually causes you to stay alive, rejuvenated, hallelujah, youthful, strong, that your wisdom does not abate, that the grace of God in your life will never drop, because fountains are always bubbling. Hallelujah. That you are always, when the enemy thinks he's pressed you down and you are cut down, you are springing up into higher levels. Because you have the fear of the Lord. Now, not the fear of man. The fear of whom? God. When you have the fear of man, you do not have the fear of God. For that which you are afraid of, you have given preeminence to. That's what's affecting everything about your now. Hello? Whatever it is that is capturing your attention right now completely, it's what you are really concerned about. It's what you've given preeminence to. It's what you're really afraid of. So in the presence of fear, there's no faith. But where faith in God is, there is the fear of God. Because the one who has faith in God believes that God is, and that he's a rewarder. Amen? Of those that diligently seek him. And when you seek God with all of your heart, and you pursue after God with all of your heart, and you recognize that circumstances are not what you need to focus your attention on, but that you diligently seek him, then God rewards you with protection, with deliverance, with provision, with every good. But it all comes from him. You need the fear of God. The word of God says to us in Psalm 34, beginning to read from verse 11. Psalm 34, beginning to read from verse 11. God says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of God. God himself says, I will teach you the fear of God. Some put your hand on your head and say, Lord, teach me the fear of God. Father, teach me to fear you. I receive the fear of God in my life right now by faith. Amen. It is important that we have the fear of God. And God says, come, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you the fear of God. Now, let me move away from Psalm 34, verse 11 for a quick moment. Because there are many ways that you can, other ways that you can learn the fear of God, and it's not legitimate. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. It says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me. In other words, they are not real. They are a bunch of fake. But I've removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the what? Precept of men. So man can teach you the fear of God. And God says it's fake, because that kind of fear is not based on them connecting with me. When you have the fear of God, you connect with God. You don't have the fear of God if you are not connecting with God. When you are pretentious in your relationship. And one of the first things God did in the early church was to establish the fear of God. The people were coming and they were giving of their best. And a couple decided that they were going to pretend that they were giving their best too. And he came before Apostle Peter. The man came first. And he dumps the money. But God checks the heart. God sees the heart. He says it was all of it, that he was altogether here and is given everything just like everybody else. The man of God says to him, you sure this is everything? Oh, yeah. Really? When you had that property, it was all yours, wasn't it? Yes. And when you sold it, it was still all of yours. Yes. So why have you come here to say that this is everything when you know it is not everything? Why have you chosen to lie to the Holy Spirit of God? And the man dropped dead. Remember the story? His name was Ananias. A few hours later, the wife comes and he asks her the same question. This stuff that your husband brought here, this is everything. Yeah, it's all of it. Well, lady, the guys that went to bury your husband, they're right at the door. God needed to establish the fear of him right very early. I remember many years ago, I thought I would never tell this story ever again in my life. But I remember when I learned the fear of God. It's very early in the beginnings of this church, the roots of what became Glory and Peace. We're holding services at R.F. Morrison Elementary School. This happened maybe about the third week of our gathering. We'd grown so much, so quickly. Three weeks into our gathering, we're at about 70 people. And the Lord said, move from this music room where we were meeting. Everything was so perfect. It was so perfect. He says, move and get into the gym. Said that on Saturday or Friday. Saturday I had a meeting with our board. And I told them, I said, the Lord says to move straight to the gym. Now in the gym would have been so lost, it was going to be too big for us. But that's where God wanted us to move to. So I mentioned it, and I told the guy who was lead in setting up, because we had to set up every Sunday. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So Sunday came, next day came, I came into the building. And then as I was going, heading towards the gym, I noticed that a guy was in the music room setting up. So I said, what are you doing? He said, I got here late, you know, and I have my Sunday school class to teach, and it's easier for me to, because I know how to set up here, you know. I decided to just set up here quickly, but next Sunday for sure, we're going to be over in the gym. Okay, please don't set up here next week. You have to be in the gym next week, I said. So we had a good service. I'm at the door shaking hands, shook the last hand, and all of a sudden I heard the voice of the Lord. Where did you have the service today? I said, in here. In where? In the gym? No, sir. First time I heard God yell. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You think you're the boss here? You see all these people? They are gone. They are gone. They are gone. Oh, my Lord, I ran out of that building. I'm in the parking lot grabbing people. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. What is wrong, Pastor? God is angry with me. Why is God angry with you? I had the service in the wrong place. Next week, we dropped from 70 to about 35. The week after, we're at about 15. I was crying out to the Lord. It says, you're forgiven, but the consequences of your actions, you're going to see. <laughs> 70 people, I did not see gathered in one spot. For years, I could go out to the nations and have crowds and crowds of people. God wanted to establish right at the very beginning. Listen, you're not the boss here. I am. That experience has saved me a whole lot of trouble. Because there have been times that I needed to compromise just to keep the peace and let things just happen, because pressure was coming from here and pressure was coming from there to do this way. I said, no. No, I am not going through that again. I am not going through that ever again. I am not going to hear God yelling at me, and I'm not going to experience the consequence and the pain of disobedience. I refuse to allow that. I don't care who you think you are. My first allegiance is to what God said, and only to what God said. Even if it looks like I'm falling into a hole and I can see it, I am going to fall into that hole believing that I am still obeying God and not the circumstance or man. You understand? It is too costly. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. the precepts of man, the philosophies of man, the ways of man. He says, your heart has gone off. You are worshiping me just based on lip service. And you're following the teachings and the precepts of man. Oh, this is what you need to do for your church to grow. Do this and do this and do this. And yes, you can do all of those things and your church will grow. But if it's not founded on the word of God, what have you? You don't have gold tried by fire. You've got rubbles going to be burnt up. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He doesn't want to burn up the things that I should be receiving rewards for. Praise the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 11 again says, it says, I'm going to teach you. Come, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. And what does he begin saying as his teaching? Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life? He's teaching about the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?